understanding the tithes and tithing. Understanding the tithes and tithing. The day I agreed with God, actually I never agreed, that I was going to be a pastor, I never wanted to be. I knew that I have to be equipped by the word of God. And so I said to myself, anything I'm going to preach, anything I'm going to tell anybody, I must be able to show the people. If I can't show you in the word of God, then it's a lie. Can I an amen? If it's not in the word of God, then it's not true. But if you find it there, then it is the truth. Nobody, no human being on earth sat me down and began to teach me about tithing, or began to teach me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was in my study of the word of God that God opened my eyes and gave me an understanding. And from then on, since 1988, I have not failed it. I have shared with us a time when I delayed in my tithing. What happened to me? That's not the story for today, so that I don't take our time. Open with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 to 33. Leviticus 27, 30 to 33. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithes of the herd or the flock or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. May the Lord breathe upon his word and empower us and give us understanding in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You can hear the word of God, and if the word of God does not penetrate your heart, you cannot understand it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. In that scripture, there are two hearings there. Faith cometh by hearing. Understanding, the second hearing is understanding. Faith cometh by hearing, understanding the word of God. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. In all your getting, get understanding. It says, therefore get wisdom. In all your getting, get understanding. Hallelujah. There is a need to understand the benefits that are attached to the tithing. Hallelujah. I am not one of those pastors who, for the sake of anything, how do I put this now? Manipulate. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Manipulate any church member to give. God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. God forbid. Hallelujah. God forbid. Some of us tithe Not because we understand it, but because we are told to do it. God is not a slave driver. God is not like us parents and our parents who we say, sit down. If you say, why? They say, because I said so. Explanations, mostly, 99.9% of the time, are in the word of God. There are sometimes God does not owe anybody any explanation. That's why in my dialect, my former dialect, we say, who can ask him? Nobody can ask him. Who are you to question God? Praise the Lord. And other people don't tithe. Why? Because they do not understand why they should do it. This is one of the subjects that the church fights with, struggles with, always have a question about. Not that it's wrong to have a question. Two thirds of scriptures are on money. 75% of the problem of the world is money. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's God's intention and God's plan to bless you. Hallelujah. Now, obedience to the word of God has greater benefits. Amen? Has not just greater benefits, long and lasting, everlasting benefits than the fleeting enjoyment of sin and disobedience to God's command. Think about it. Does Satan have a better plan for you than God? Hello? Is there a greater benefit in disobedience than in obedience? Amen? Somebody answer me. No. Praise the Lord. What is the tithe? I like the attention I'm getting. The tithe is 10% of your gross income. Gross. If you are going to declare your income, what do you declare? Come on, let me hear you. Gross. My wife is correcting me with style. Gross. Gross income. Whether right or wrong, I will take it. Amen. You want to buy a house and you are filling the form about your income. What do you write? You don't write net. When they ask you, what do you earn? What's your annual income? You don't calculate the net. You tell them everything you are earning, gross or gross. Hallelujah. And God says, that 10%, set it aside unto me, that is unto God, because it is holy. It is consecrated. It is an intimate part of my worship and obedience to God, the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Holy simply means exclusive. It is God's exclusive right God has exclusive ownership on the tenth, and he can do with it whatsoever he chooses. And let me say here, God is serious about it. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor, God is serious about the tithe. Come on, say like you mean it. God is serious. How do I know it? He is serious? He said if you use it or you delay it, you owe me 20% of the tithe. You read it there. 31. Show us 31. Leviticus 27, 31. Come on. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, why would you have to redeem it? Because you didn't bring it. Amen? He says, he shall do what? Add a fifth or the fifth part. That is 20% of what he held back. God is serious. About the tithe. Tell your neighbor, say, don't delay it. And don't use it. If not, you owe more than the tithe. Amen. Everything I am, everything you are, everything we will ever be is from God. Hello? Even the life you have, the voice you can hear me, you speaking to you, does not belong to me. It belongs to God. Do you think God can take the voice? Oh yes, it belongs to him. He can take it. And if he does take it, what can you do? There's nothing you can do. You see, because God is so merciful, we dare him. I don't want to waste time on all this my introduction. Let me quickly talk about worship here. Our worship does not start and end with singing. Can I say that again? Our worship does not start and end with singing. If that were so, when God said to Moses, go tell that rascal Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may serve me or worship me on the mountain. Right? And Pharaoh said, okay. At some point he said, you can go, but leave all your flocks behind. Moses said, I don't know about the one you worship, but the God we serve, we don't know what he's going to demand of us to worship him and to serve him with. We have to go with all those flocks. We have to serve him with all that we have. Hallelujah. Giving, returning of the tithe to God, it's an essential part of our worship. The root word of worship, are you ready for this? Watch this. The root word of worship is worth-ship. 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 In a layman's term, why does a poor man honor a rich man? Because the rich man has more resources than him. So he has concluded that the rich man is worth more and is more important than himself. So he goes down, rank-a-dee-dee. God is worth more than
everything you can imagine, put them together, times 1 billion, times 1 gazillion, God is worth more than all of it. You know why? Because he owns it. So our worship, now you should understand this, that when next you are called to worship God, think about the worth of God. Your worship will change. Think about his worth. Think about how God has stepped in for you. Think about how God had intervened for you. Think about how God has protected you. God is worth our obedience. I know how many times my son will come to me and say, "Dad, so if I do this, you will be happy? You will be happy? Or you'll be grumpy?" Amen? This morning he said something that really blew me out of the waters. So I thought, no, this boy can't come up with this by himself. Maybe it's the Sunday school here that taught him. So I went back to him, I said, "Were you taught this in the Sunday?" He said, "No, nobody ever, I have never had anybody say that. Nobody taught me." What was it that he said? I was helping him to trim his nails, and we were listening, we were worshiping together. There was worship song going on. Then he said to me, he said, "Dad, you know, God is like a restaurant. He has all the kinds of food you like so that you can keep coming back." I said, "High five." High five. I had to high five him. So I had to ask him. Because in my mind, I said, "No, it was the Sunday school that taught him that." He said, "No, Sunday school teacher. God will help us all. In Jesus' name." So if a 7-year-old can say God is like a restaurant, so that you can go and come back, and he has all that you need, everything you like, he has it. You better have that understanding. Hallelujah. You see, If God is worth our obedience, then we better watch our attitude when it comes to worship, and when it comes to giving, and when it comes to returning. 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of necessity. Don't give grudgingly. Doctor, if I gave you $200 and I said, "I'm going to need $20 out of that $200 later," and you start frowning, you know there's a problem. Praise the Lord. Somebody's thinking in their heart, "But God didn't give me $200. How did you wake up this morning? Who gave you the life? Pinch yourself and feel. There are some people lying in the hospital, they can't feel. They can't move their limbs. They can't bat their eyelids. They drink from their throat. They can't go to the bathroom by themselves. But God gave you the grace. The job you are not even qualified for, they gave you. You think it's all by your mind. Oh, it was your smile. And let's agree, it's your smile. Who gave you the teeth? When you look at everything and go round and round and round, guess what? You come back to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God cannot be glorified with our leftovers. After I pay my rent, my light bills, buy groceries, do everything I need to do, then I say, "Oh, I'm not giving my tithe. Or this thing is never enough." You see, I'm going to show you a scripture. that just makes you understand that there is no excuse good enough to disobey God. Did you hear me? Huh? Any blatant command that God has given, you have no excuse. I have no excuse to disobey God. You know the joke of Christianese? God understands. He's a liar. He doesn't understand why you have to disobey him. He doesn't understand why we have to disobey clear command. Amen. Amen. Let me show you something. Malachi, the mafia, Malachi. The moment we hear Malachi, like I'm sweating, now everybody begins to sweat. Malachi, Italian mafia, they have come to collect. Amen. Even to the extent that pastors have been called thieves. All in the name of, we ask the church to tithe and to give offering. Let me quickly read Malachi chapter 1. If you are in chapter 3, sorry, go back to chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 6, the King James Version. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, not Kalansen. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? He says, ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, leftovers. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. God will understand. Verse 8. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you bring what is not the tithe as a tithe, is that not evil? That's not smartness. And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Now listen to what God says. Go and offer it to your governor. Go and offer leftover to the tax man. You know what will happen? Huh? Courthouse and jail. You know that. You can't give the tax man leftover. As a matter of fact, God trusts you and I more than the tax man trusts you and I. You know how I know? Because the tax man will collect it first, even before he reaches your hand. That I don't trust these guys. Say, oh, we will do it later. And you know what? The moment you are late with your taxes, what does the tax man do? They put interest. Now, their interest is every day. Amen? So if it is $200, I don't know what their interest rate is, but I'm sure it's more than 6%. They now put 6% on top of the $200 today. Tomorrow, guess what? They'll put 6% on top of the $200 and the 6% of yesterday. And that's how it goes every day. By the time you go to negotiate with them, you will still be paying what you owe. It says, go and offer it to your governors. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept your person? Said the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Said the Lord. Verse 10. Who is there among you that will shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. And I can keep on reading and reading and reading. You understand it. 10% signifies the whole. Those of us who have little kids, you'll notice that the moment they can count from 1 to 10, that's the end of it. They will count any other number. 10 is the whole. Whatever you earn, whatever your income may be, as long as you set the 10% aside unto God, everything is under the 10. Wholeness, holiness is under the 10. That 10 becomes the representative of the tithe becomes the representative of everything. Let me take it a little bit further. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became God's tithe. God accepted the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary, right? So therefore, you and I need not make any other sacrifice by bringing a goat, a ram, shedding blood, this and that. God has already accepted Christ. So go under Christ, you will be accepted of God. So Christ covers the whole of mankind that will submit to him. Does somebody understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Amen. Now flip over. Malachi 3. All these are just my preambles. 6. Malachi 3, 6 to 10 or 11. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? He answered them, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He answered, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, test me. Now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, I'm going to talk more about that next week, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will be the guarantor of your well-being. I will be the protector of all that you are, all you will be, all that you have, both far and near. Prove me. Test me. I've had that testimony before, and anybody can try it in faith as you know that you are standing on the truth. Take your tithe record or your checkbook that you use to write tithes. Put it on your sick child. Say, Lord, this is a devourer. By the reason of my tithe, this must go. You know what happens? Most of the time we forget. We forget. Praise the Lord. In closing, from what you have in your bulletin, that is, if you have a bulletin, First Samuel, let me. In the tithes, is it the money that God is concerned about? It is the obedience. It is the obedience that God is concerned about. I had somebody give a testimony that was very similar to mine. From time to time, bear with me. You know, I use my life a lot on my family. And don't get angry about it. That's just the simplicity of my heart. From time to time, even up until now, my wife and I, we write each other love letters. You know, 2 pages, just write to mesmerize each other and remind ourselves. So one day, this is like a few years ago now, I bought my wife a gold necklace. I mean, the real one. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are some, when you see from afar, you think it's the real one. When you get closer, you know it's not. Amen. This one was real. Amen. And I wrote a card. I'm not one, please permit me, and I'm not stopping anybody from doing this. I'm not a fan of pre-written greeting cards. I would rather a blank one, and you write your mind. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Huh? Okay. But I love everyone that has given me a card. I read them, and I love them. Some of them, I still kept them from many years back. Anyway, I took this blank card and I wrote there to my wife. I said, gold never decays. My love for you will never decay. Oh, wow. That card became more precious than the necklace. In fact, the necklace now, I can't even remember how many years ago she has used it. But the card is still being kept. What is behind your action? Amen. What represents your action is what God is more interested in. So don't just write blank card to your wife. Oh, put something there. Don't quote me. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17 to 24. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Finish them. Emphasis mine. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, watch this. Has the Lord great delight in your burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So you mean what you brought back from Amalek and the king of Amalek was more important than destroying all of them? Do you mean obeying God is minimum to what you have now done? Do you think God now rules in the affairs of men based on the ideas of men? God, you said I should do this, but this is what I am going to do. You think about that. Look at the answer. As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold. Everybody say, behold. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than to play smart. Than to think I can have my way and I dare anybody. As a matter of fact, what if I don't even go to church anymore because of this issue of tithing? And to heed than the fat of rams. He says, for rebellion. So anytime we disobey God, even in our tithing, is what? Rebellion. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Every word. Every command of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people. Remember what I told us last week? Fear. Fear is always one reason to disobey God. And that does not justify us. Hallelujah. So what does God get out of our sacrifice? What gives him pleasure is our obedience. There's a covenant partnership with God in the tithing. It's a covenant, an unbroken covenant from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation, even unto children unborn. Like I said earlier, God does not understand disobedience where he has given a clear command. The church is the bride of Christ. I did something when we were upstairs. I want to do it again to close this service. I need three people just to come out. Three. Let me demonstrate something to you. Three people, male or female, doesn't matter. Married or unmarried, it doesn't matter. One more. Nobody wants to get up. Okay. Stand there, sir. Look at these three people. Individually, they represent the church, the bride of Christ. Amen? The bride of Christ. And God said about this bride, the church, he said, I'm going to bless you, even though our blessings are in measures differently. After I've blessed you, whether small, great, or large, one-tenth of the blessing I have given to you, I want you to bless my bride and give it to maintain my wife until I return. Amen? Remember, I gave you your life. I gave you your wife. I gave you your children, your job, your good health, the ability to earn. But now, this is my wife. I want you to take care of my wife with tenth of what I bless you with until I return. Now, this one, this is in another measure now. This one, no, let me reverse it. These are the people that were given the instructions. Bless my church. Now, this man represents some of us. Whenever he likes. Hello? I don't say that. That's what you do. Whenever he likes. Let me pity the church today. Let me tie it. Then he brings it. Then he doesn't do it for another 6 months because he has one problem to solve or the other. Then this madam brings it, but it's not it. Did you hear me? Brings the ta, but not the t. There was no t in it. Hello? She brings some to represent the tithes because I can't go to her and say, is this how much you are earning? But she does it consistently. Right? This one, without fail, the whole tithe. Please let us be the judge and the jury. Who will God call my beloved among them? Come on now. Who? If you say number one, say yes. Number one. Number two. Number three. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. It's not when I like. It's not what looks like it. It is the whole. Thank you. Next week, we'll go a step further till the end of this month so that we can have an understanding that it's not a punishment. It's an avenue for blessing. Don't lift up your hands and sing and jump. When the choir is playing and say, jump to the Lord. Jump, jump. And you are jumping, jumping. But you are not in obedience. I remember somebody giving a testimony here. They went to collect their tithe at the ATM. And the money in an envelope fell down. A Price Chopper in Grandview here. In the parking lot. From before service started. Until the time he was about to, you know how many hours will have passed? Everybody must have been blind.
He ran back to trace his steps.
The envelope was still lying down there in the parking. You know how Sunday is packed with shopping and shoppers?
The envelope of the tithe was still down there.
Oh, it's a coincidence. No, no, it's not. It was holy.
Hello?
It was what?
Holy.
One of the things that gives me confidence to go before God is my obedience in time.